This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, eager to speak with you today. I am so happy to be back in the saddle with you after a few days out doing various things, which we'll talk a little bit about as we move forward in our program. Always interested in hearing what is going on in your life. We are here to have holy conversation together to build up the body of Christ, that's you and me, as we share the testimony of our lives with each other right here on the airwaves. So let me give you a number that you can use if you're here in North America. Reminder that it is toll-free for you right here in North America, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Easy breezy, nice to remember. Mark it on your calendar, put it in your phone, you know, just have it be a connector to the number here, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. We're also available for you today out there in social media land. Simply go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and you can see us there. Yes, you can. I'm giving you a little wave this morning as we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The chat feature is there for you to put your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement in. They pop up on the board, and our producer, Jeff Burson, also goes out and grabs those because he's our social media manager, and he'll put them up on the board. Ryan Penny is with us today, and he is going to be taking your calls when you call in to 833-288-EWTN. So, yeah, I've had a very busy last week, really a very busy last 10 days, but they culminated in the beautiful Women of Grace event that we had in Lafayette, Louisiana. We are freshly back from that, and it was just a tremendous time in the Lord. We gathered at Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church there in Lafayette. Father Michael Russo opened the doors to us, and we were graciously attended to by their staff, and our staff worked very hard to make the day go as smoothly as it possibly could. It wasn't just a day, actually. It was from Thursday until Sunday, so it was quite a few days. It all started off with the Benedicta Leadership Institute for Women, led by Kathleen Beckman. Marvelous, marvelous teaching did we receive there on coming to understand our call and our mission as women in light of our Blessed Lady and the profound power that woman has to crush the head of the serpent, not just the serpent Satan, but all of the ways in which Satan manifest himself through the various kinds of challenges that we face in our day and time. And so how is it that we band together as these daughters of the Most High God in union with our mother to effect this great and holy mission in the world today? And that is what we unpacked with Kathleen Beckman in our Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar. And we want to encourage you, you know, take advantage of these opportunities. I'll tell you, the ladies were saying to us at the end of the retreat, which began on Friday, the ladies were saying how blessed they were, how freed up they were, how healed they were, how they experienced a new impact of the Holy Spirit in their lives, how they felt edified and built up in the mystical body of Christ. And they all went out with smiles on their face. Now, I'm telling you, if you can, you know, if you can have that many women smiling at any one point in time, you know that the Holy Spirit has arrived with our Blessed Lady, and the Holy Duet was about a beautiful, beautiful ministry and business of the Lord. So we don't want you to miss these opportunities. We are going to be in Malvern, Pennsylvania. That is our next event, and that's coming up faster than you can imagine. It always does. It just catches us by surprise every year. We are going to have this lovely opportunity to be at Malvern Retreat House there in Malvern, Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So you'd fly into Philadelphia, or if you live in the area, of course, you probably know where Malvern is. We invite you to come and to join us there. Another beautiful retreat is going to be taking place, and we have marvelous speakers that are coming there. And the speakers that are coming, I know, have so much to share with us. Father Nathan Cromley is going to be with us, and I know you are going to love Father Nathan Cromley. He is a wonderful man of God, holy priest, really helped helps for us to enter into the understanding of how God wants to affect great changes in our life through our Blessed Lady and the Holy Spirit. And this time we're going to be looking at the work that was taking place at the foot of the cross. And that is the theme, at the foot of the cross, at the foot of the cross, God's infinite mercy. Sorry. At the foot of the cross, God's infinite mercy. You know, and as I told the ladies this weekend and at our Benedicta, and as I speak to you now, here's the deal. You know, you do have to get under the spot where the glory pours out. God has abundant graces for us to receive. And when he's going to dispense them through a particular coming together of the body of Christ, we need to be there to the extent that we can. So I really want to encourage you to get out to our website, to take a look at our upcoming events. Malvern is in July. I think it's right around the 12th of July. And then we're going to be in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the very beginning of August, August 1st. So we want you to find out where we're going to be and join us there so that you can indeed receive these abundant blessings that God wants you to know. We come together in faith. We come together for formation. We come together in fellowship. And we do have a whole lot of fun. Those are sort of like the hallmarks of these beautiful Women of Grace events. We want for you to join us. Get out there, find out. I want to extend a thank you to all of those who made this past weekend so beautiful. Again, I've mentioned Father Michael Russo, Stephanie Sipple, who works there at the church, a magnificent job in helping us to get all of this accomplished. Our sacristans, Brad and Tessa, beautiful, beautiful job. I want to thank all of the speakers publicly. I want to thank Father Chris Decker, who spent hours upon hours in the confessional. Hours upon hours. He was the only priest that was able to hear confessions over the weekend. And there was not a woman that was turned away. Just an absolutely beautiful opportunity to watch a priest, you know, cut out of the bolt of the same fabric as Curie of ours, spending hours and hours and hours in the confessional. Our women were abundantly grateful. Many came out with tears streaming. And that always tells you that the Holy Spirit showed up and a marvelous work was done. So thank you, Father Chris Decker. I want to thank Kathleen Beckman. I've mentioned her. Tom Sullivan, Thomas K. Sullivan, who co-authored the book with me, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare, which is available to you out there at EWTNRC.com, as well as the book called To Knighthood, The Sacrament of Confirmation in the Kingdom Family of God. Tom wrote that, available for you at EWTNRC.com. Magnificent job. I want to thank my husband, Jack Williams, who had the women laughing, had them on their feet, had them doing a certain type of Catholic calisthenics, if you will. Just a marvelous presentation, honey. And thank you so much for being there with us. Just a beautiful, beautiful time. Mary Dillon back headed up our beautiful Young Women of Grace retreat. And the girls were just delightful. What precious daughters of the Most High God we have coming up behind us, ladies. So anyway, all of that to say, it was a beautiful weekend. And above all, I want to thank our Lord Jesus Christ, the manifold blessings that he gave to us, the Holy Spirit, our Blessed Lady who is always with us, Saint Joseph, for all of your help and assistance, and for all of those who work behind the scenes on our staff, Isabel Liberatore, Joanne Kane, our regional coordinators that were there, Diana Marie Salzman from Texas. And we had Isabel Liberatore is also one of our regional coordinators, Mary Dillon back being a regional coordinator too, who was there, and Brenda Dooley. Thank you, everybody, for that. More on the other side of this break right here. We want to know what's going on in your life. I just told you what was happening in mine. Let me know what's going on in yours when we come back right here on Catholic Radio, EWTN. We are grateful for you. 833-288-EWTN. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back from the other side of the break here. We are very happy to be with you, and I'm encouraging you to give us a call here. We are live for you. And here is the number to use if you are in North America. It is toll-free for you. It begins with this, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Please do join us here, where God does great things and where God desires for us to to meet. So pick up the phone, give us a call. We've got Ryan Penny on the phones today, and he's eager to take your call. We also have Jeff Burson, our producer, out there on social media. He's out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement can be sent to us via the chat feature, and it jumps up here on my board, and we're able to be together in that way as well. If you're outside of North America, here's your number. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, country code 1-205-271-2985. Don't fear. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. We're here. That rhymed, didn't it? Let me give you another way to join us, too. You can text us. Text EWTN to 55000. That's EWTN to 55000. We have Sandra on the phone. She's in Jacksonville, Florida, and she is a first-time caller. Good morning, Sandra. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good, good. So what's going on in your world, honey?
Well, my mother was not actually diagnosed with breast cancer. She's 82 years old, and she's like you could tell she's like an age of like a 60, 65, you know, and she's just life, you know, nothing but life.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yes, and then she is a Catholic, mm-hmm. you know, believer.
Yes. Well, good. So would you like some prayers this morning for her?
Yes. And then she has a doctor's appointment today. You know, my father's had a stroke like 10 years ago. He's bedridden. And so, you know, he's getting like, he's just turning like 80. He'll be like 85, 86 this July. So he's bedridden. And then now, you know, she was scared, didn't tell, you know, no one that she had this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now she's going through this trial, and then today is her appointment at 4 o'clock to see, you know, what kind of cancer it is. But we believe that she will get a healing,
mm-hmm.
and there will be a miracle.
Well, you know, Sandra, our God is a God of miracles, right? And there is nothing.
Yes.
And there's nothing impossible for God. So let's just come together in the name of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is, Father, that we bless ourselves in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Father God, you have heard the plea of your daughter Sandra's heart, and she comes before you in supplication for her mother this day. Father, we know that you are stronger than any disease. We know that you are more powerful than any illness. We know that there is not one cross that you entrust to us through which you are not going to work great and abundant grace. And so even as we pray for the healing of Sandra's mother, and that is what we lift to you, a complete and total healing of Sandra's mother, that this cancer would be not only manageable, but this cancer would be curable, and curable quick, fast, and in a hurry. We know and we trust in that. Even as we ask for this great healing, we are aware of the fact that when you do entrust a portion of your Son's cross to us, it's only because you are going to work something tremendous out of it and through it, just as you worked through his cross. His cross led to our salvation. And in so many ways, the crosses that you entrust to us can also bring salvation in union with his salvific act into our lives and into the lives of others. And so I pray that for the period of time that you entrust this cross to Sandra, for Sandra's mother, for the period of time that you entrust this cross to Sandra's mother, that it would be a work of grace taking place in her and through her into the lives of so many. Father, you only entrust suffering to us when it is your desire to make us holier through it and to lead others to salvation. So let us not ever waste one cross that you entrust us, no matter the way in which it comes. That being said, Lord, we know that you desire to bring healing into our lives, that all we need to do is to lift our prayers in union with your Son, and great things happen. And so it is that we dare to ask that there would be a complete and total healing in Sandra's mother. I would pray that Sandra, and I would pray that her father and any siblings and any family members would enter into this time as a sacred moment in their lives, a time in which you are at work. I pray that you give them the wisdom to see you at work in this time. And I ask, Lord God, that in seeing you at work, they can give praise and honor and glory to you, even in the midst of the various ways in which this cross might press upon them. And so it is that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, darling. And I do want to just share this with you. These kinds of diagnoses are stunning. There's no question about them. I've received more of them than I would like to receive in my own family life. But the fact of the matter is, when they come, God wants to grant us a great grace. What he wants to do is to increase our supernatural outlook, our supernatural vision. What he wants to do is to help us see through his eyes what it is that he's offering to us. So in every suffering, there is a pearl of great price that could not be wrought in our lives in any other way. And so we pray for the grace to be able to see what that pearl of great price is, right? And when we discover it, even in the midst of the sorrow, even in the midst of the suffering, even in the midst of the travail, even in the midst of the weight of the cross, there is a joy that comes. And this is what I was praying for. We're praying for healing for your mom. But nonetheless, at this current moment, there is a diagnosis. And so for whatever that involves, you know, whatever the walk through treatment might be like, you know, I want you to see it, and I want you to impress upon her. She sounds like a very prayerful woman, but remind her of the fact that this is a gloriously grace-filled journey, a sojourn into the sufferings of Christ, wherein all goodness lies. So there's goodness in this, because God works all things to the good, even diagnoses of cancer. He will work to the good to the extent that we're willing to see, not with our natural eyes, but with the eyes of the Holy Spirit, to see the work that God's doing. I pray this for you and for your mom, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, darling. We don't ever want to waste the suffering that God gives us, because there's power in it, okay?
Yeah, I know.
I know you.
And happiness in the end.
Happiness in the end. And it's fine to cry and to grieve. I mean, we need to do that. We're human persons. Jesus wept too. And that gives us the courage to say, tears are streaming, Lord God, but yet in the midst of it, my faith, my trust, my hope, my confidence is all in you. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
All right,
okay,
darling.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome so much. And God bless you. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. You know, these moments, my friends, you know, it is hard, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit wants to lead us, and he wants to guide us into this tutelage of the great gift that is there for us in suffering. And our Blessed Lady, honestly, I tell you, she will take you into the mystery itself if you ask her to do so. I know that only from personal experience, but she will lead us and she will guide us. And we'll know, because these little thoughts will come into our mind, these little insights, these little inspirations, these moments of reflection. And that's all the work of our Blessed Mother, obtaining for us from her spouse, the Holy Spirit, exactly the blessing that we need at the time. So open yourselves up. Suffering is a mystery. Suffering would have no meaning, no value, if it wasn't for the fact that our Lord himself used suffering to effect the greatest good that's ever come about. And that is the opening of heaven for each one of us and all of us who proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, right? So heaven is opened unto us through the salvific action of our Lord. So in our suffering, heaven wants to be opened up too, as we suffer in union with Christ. So there's a heaven in that suffering. So be attentive, be aware, look at it, you know, ask Our Lady to reveal it to you. Okay. More to say, you know, today's the feast day of St. John the Baptist, and I just want to give a shout out to ask for the intercession of St. John the Baptist today. All right. He's one of my patrons. Johnette is my name. And so I've always claimed two patron saints, John the Baptist and John the Beloved Disciple. And the Baptist has really made deep impression in my life. And today he is looking for you to invoke his intercession, because he's got great graces that will come through that intercession today. Let's go to Joan. She's in Azusa, California. Station of the Cross app is the way she's with us today. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, Johnette.
How are you?
Oh, I'm well, thank you. Well, the reason I called is because I am struggling with this, and I'm not sure how I feel about this whole thing. Okay, so I'm totally blind, and I want to be active in the church in some kind of ministry. And I know they said something from the pulpit a while ago about the church trying to address disabled people being in ministries in the church, but I'm not sure. So I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about this, or if I should go forward and be the activist, or if I should just say, okay, Lord, maybe I'll just stay in my house and pray. But I don't think I want to do that. No, I think I want to do something.
Okay, Joan. Well, you know what? Let me just say that I think that there's great indication by your name. Joan of Arc, right? Yeah, you've got to
be burned at the stake. Is that what you're telling me, Jonathan?
No, but you know, I just want to say, having opened up to her, you know, martyrdom is a one-way ticket, a very fast and effective ticket to heaven.
I think I probably need that way. I don't know that I really want that way. But okay.
Well, you know, here's the thing. St. John Paul II did ask us to, you know, to pray for the desire for martyrdom, because he said it may well be within the horizon of our own life. I'm not suggesting that's the case for you, but really what I wanted to say was maybe the other part of Joan's life, you know. I mean, she was a great activist, wasn't she? And I mean, she relied on the Lord for everything, even in the moment of her martyrdom. The grace was there, which is another little funny thing about grace, you know. It never arrives too late. It arrives exactly when we need it. So I'm sure if Joan ever contemplated martyrdom, she probably, you know, wondered about it and maybe wasn't too giddy about it. I don't know. But when we need that grace, it shows up. But I was really referring to the part of her life where she was an activist. You know, she won France back from England. She brought the crown home. And so that being said, she was a great warrior for Christ. And I think both, you know, there's a both and to what you just laid out. It's not necessarily, you know, an active ministry versus a contemplative ministry, nor a contemplative ministry versus an active ministry. It's a both and it's especially a both and for those of us that are laity. You know, we're not called to the cloister, where it's still very active inside of a cloister. But nonetheless, we are called into the field, right, to be about the business of harvesting there. So I would want to encourage you, it's a both and. Any apostolic work has got to come from prayer. It just has to. Prayer is the fuel that fires it. So I would use the opportunity for intercession as much as you possibly can. But your blindness in no way prevents you from active apostolate. We had in our ministry, and Joan, you'll love this. Her name was Edna. God bless her. She's gone on to her eternal reward. Edna was the most sighted blind person I had ever met. And she became blind. She had sight, and she became blind in her adolescent years. And she lived all of her adult life, of course, 100% totally blind. But we sometimes doubted it at the ministry, because Edna could make
say that too. Mom, you're kidding, right? I know. I could. We wonder about you, Mom. No, I can't.
And isn't that a beautiful thing? And so Edna did all kinds of things for us. I mean, she made phone calls for us. She did a lot of the folding and stuffing for us. She shredded. She would sit at that shredder and shred. And shred and shred. She would do that for us. But she was very engaging. And we just kept heaping more and more work on Edna, because she was so capable. So blindness is never something that should stop us. As a matter of fact, she saw things that we couldn't see because we are sighted. And I'm sure that's the case with you. There's this inner world that you have a vision for that we who are sighted often miss, because we're distracted and we rely too much on sight and not enough on spiritual sight.
Well, blind people don't have a choice either. Like, that's the only world you know.
That's right.
That's the only world you have.
It's true.
So it's not like, it's like you said. I mean, it is a great blessing. That it's not necessarily that you can see other things, but it's just a very strange way to live. It's like living in the world, but not living in the world, because the world that other people see, you cannot even access it. Mm-hmm. You can't even access it. I mean, the only thing that's real for me, it's like talking on the phone with your eyes closed. That's how you live as a blind person.
Yes.
That's all you know.
Well, I spend a whole lot of time on the air with my eyes closed, because I can come into a deeper contemplation as I'm talking with people like yourself or praying with people. And I want to close out I want to close out the visible world because I only want to see interiorly. I only want to see what is God saying. And the sight can get in the way. So, you know, I think that God has definitely called you to a contemplative life, a deep, rich, fruitful, contemplative life, but not to the exclusion of being active, because your witness in the world is absolutely essential. Because you by what some would call a disability, I would call an ability to interiority. And your witness in that is essential for our day and time when the distraction is so great, we don't know how to focus and we allow ourselves to be distracted. And so you being out in the center of the mystical body of Christ through your parish church or in what other means he will place you is essential. And in terms of practical application or productivity in those, there's all kinds of skills that you have that can come to the table to be used. But it's almost as if, you know, looking at you, we can see how God is asking us to enter into this very personal world of communion with him, not to the exclusion of the outside world, but into a more personal communion with him. And, you know, just talking with you, you're so joyful. You see the great call and mission that is yours. You have an excitement in your soul to do something for the Lord. And I think you can do it in both ways.
Well, I thank you very much, Janet. You're a blessing. God bless you.
Well, I think you're a blessing. You've blessed me, Joan.
Well, you're very kind. Well, you have a great day.
Thanks. We say in Women of Grace, it's time to Joan up. So it's time to Joan up, Joan.
All righty then. I'll remember that.
God bless you, sweet woman.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Oh, my goodness sakes. I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Spirit very powerful through the phone calls that we've received here today. Maybe you have too. Share with us, how is the Holy Spirit working in your life? More with you on the other side of our break, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Janet Williams here. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Janet Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Janet Williams. Very delighted to be with you today. Inviting you to give us a call here. Going to give you the toll-free number for you right here in North America. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Just pick up the phone, give us a call. We've got Ryan Penny on the phones today, and he's eager to hear from you. If you're out there in social media land, you can go to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature to get your question or comment in there. And our Jeff Burson, producer of our program, will get out there, pick it up, put it up for me, and we will be able to have a type of holy conversation together that way as well. Looking forward to hearing from you today at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. Certainly do invite you to join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love to have that holy conversation with you. We've got another Joan with us today. Oh my goodness, this is a Joan of Arc kind of day. Maybe a Joan of Arc on the feast day of St. John the Baptist. A lot of people who are out there changing the world. Joan is in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Holy Family Radio is the way she's with us. And she too is a first time caller. I should be ringing my first time caller bell here. There you go. First time caller bell. Good morning, Joan. How are you?
I'm well, Janet. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Yes, it's my pleasure. I feel like it's the Holy Spirit working here. I can only be on a few minutes because I volunteer at the soup kitchen today, so I've got to be going. However, I put on the radio and I heard your last call with Joan, another Joan, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to let you know that I'm no longer a member of St. Teresa's Parish in New Cumberland, Pennsylvania. However, I went there fairly recently, and there was a gentleman who was doing the readings who was blind, and he was doing it through Braille. So I thought, I just want to call in case if that other Joan is still listening, maybe there is something there that can be looked into.
Well, you know, that's a beautiful idea, Joan. And I, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because at my home parish in Florida, in Safety Harbor, Florida, Espiritu Santo, we have a deacon who has been a deacon for many, many years, who is blind, and his wife will record the readings, and he uses, you know, a recording device. You know, he puts his earbuds in his ears and he proclaims the word of God. She says it, and he repeats it to the congregation. And it's been very effective. And he's been doing this for years and years and years. So, you know, I think that that is a great idea. And I'm so happy that you raised it. So there for our first Joan caller is another way in which you can participate in the life of the parish. That's beautiful, Joan. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, John, and God bless you. And I just want to say, give a shout out. I am a member now of the parish that is the first St. Catherine Drexel in the world. It's located right here in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, you know, she's one of our patrons at Women of Grace. She's one of the saints that we feature in our foundational study, and we have a big banner of her that we will bring to our various events and put up. She just a great, great woman of God who did so much, you know, to help so many in so many different ways. So I'm happy for you that you're at that parish.
Yes, and my husband actually had four aunts. Two were great aunts and two were regular aunts who entered under Mother Catherine Drexel or St. Catherine Drexel. And my husband actually met her as a very young boy many years ago. So she also is very close to our hearts as well.
Oh, well, I'm so glad. Well, maybe we should ask for her intercession today.
I think that would be a great idea. And I would just ask if you would tuck in a little prayer for some special intentions that I'm holding within my heart. I would be most appreciative, Johnette.
Well, you're quite welcome, Joan, and I don't want to hold you up from the soup kitchen, but Father God,
yes,
we do come.
I do.
We're gonna just.
You're so welcome,
darling, and even as you're running, and you can hang up, I understand, but Father God, we do lift up these special intentions in the heart of your daughter, Joan. You know what they are, Lord. We have no need to know. You know all things, and I know that you are making haste, even as we pray this prayer, to begin a process of providing provision for these intentions. And so it is that we pray this prayer in great confidence of your love, your kindness, your mercy, your protection, your guidance, your providence, as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. Amen. Thanks, Joan, and God bless you, dear.
God bless you, and thank you, Johnette. Bye now.
Bye now. Ah, lovely lady. Let's go to Sharon. She is with us in Tulsa, Oklahoma today. Oklahoma Catholic Radio is the way that she is joining us. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Johnette.
Hi.
I just wanted to share that I had a bad infection in my leg and had an 8-year journey that culminated in an amputation.
Oh, my goodness.
And during it culminated, it was a below the knee amputation on my left leg. Mm-hmm. And during that journey, of course, at the beginning, I was just like, Lord, take this away, take this away, take this away. And then my prayers changed to saying, Lord, you know, just let this come and whatever it's going to be to your glory, and help me to contribute, that's fine. And like I said, it culminated in an amputation in 2013. And I'm one of these people that I'll go out in the dress, in shorts. You know, people don't like the fact that I've got a prosthetic. That's their problem, not mine. Mm-hmm. But one of those things that did happen is it's opened up to people. They'll see me, and they'll see that I'm vulnerable, that I've had some trials, and I still have my trials.
Sure.
But they'll open up to me and allow me to minister to them just by listening.
Isn't that something?
So I'm blessed. I'll tell people, do I wish I had my natural leg? Yes, I do. But I'm also very grateful. I grew through the experience, and I'm able to give back a little bit more than maybe I would have otherwise.
Mm.
So look at this as an opportunity, not a disability.
Sharon, you know, you share such a beautiful story here, and you demonstrate for us such a, what would I want to say, gracious heart. You know, your heart is so expansive, and everyone can find a home in it. That is what Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross, tells us about the female person, that our hearts can be expanded to become a shelter for all of the people of the world. Everybody can find a home in us. And, you know, here you are, and some would, you know, ball up their fist and rail it at the Lord and scream and yell and rant and rave, become bitter, become resentful, turn their back on him. But you rather have been able to use what some would phrase a disability, you have been able to use this as a door to walk through, an opening that provides opportunity for so many other people to come into a new perspective of what God has entrusted to them. And I'm thinking of the fact, you know, that God calls us in varieties of ways into mission. We're all meant to be on mission. He's given us life at this moment in the history of man for a special mission. And everything that happens, whether it happens through his permissive will or his, you know, signified will, no matter what happens, he wants to work it to the good. And you've given us evidence of how that can be done in a beautiful way. Who knows, Sharon, how many hearts and souls, because of your witness and your testimony, have been led into the kingdom of God. It's going to be a glorious day when you meet him face to face and he shows you all of these people who were affected because you said yes in the midst of what the world would say no to. Beautiful,
well, thank
Sharon.
Thank you. And I won't say that there weren't times that I yelled at God at night when I was in pain, mm-hmm. but it just became apparent to me that I needed to give, and that was it was whatever he wanted.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you know, you gave. You gave your suffering. You gave your disappointment. You gave a piece of your very self to him. So God bless you, Sharon. Thank you so much for your witness.
You're welcome, and thank you for everything you do.
Well, thank you. God bless you, dear.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Bye. You know, I have a little thing here that I want to read really fast to you, and certainly do want to encourage you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. It's toll-free for you here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. We also invite you to get out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature to get your questions to us today. And we've got a text message here that we're going to take, too. So you can text us at EWTN to 55000. That's 55000. I love to receive your email questions as well, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. But let me just share this with you, because we're talking about call and mission here, and we don't always see the varieties of ways in which God can call us into mission. But you've witnessed two today that have come through, again, what the world would call disabilities, but these women call it opportunities, both through our last caller as well as through our first caller here. And it's an amazing reality of what it is that God desires to do in us and do through us. And sometimes the way in which he does it is an unexpected way and a sorrowful way, as these women experienced. And yet God takes that and it becomes fire-tried gold. And he shines more brilliantly in us through that than perhaps he could have shined in us in any other way. So it's his desire to work all things to the good. And when he calls us, it seems as though, you know, there is a pattern of how that call happens. And we see one of the most ancient of all calls in the book of Gideon, when Gideon was called. And if you go to Gideon, I'm not going to take the time to read it. If you go to the call of Gideon in Judges 6, verse 11 through 24, you'll see it. But in the Navarre Bible, It says this. It says that God's choice falls on a man who would never have expected a vocation. And I'm thinking that when, you know, our callers today heard the news about the disability that God would entrust to them or the opportunity that he would give to them, they would never have expected a vocation coming from it. But there's a vocation in it. And it says he receives the call in the course of his ordinary work when he is grinding corn. And then the writer of this says the call is God's initiative. In some particularly important cases, the Lord uses an angel to convey his message. His greeting begins with references to the fact that the Lord is close to his chosen one. The Lord is with you. Now, I want to say this. In Gideon's case, in the case of Our Blessed Lady, in other cases, you know, a messenger from God is sent and they see this messenger. But there is a messenger sent from God to you. And that messenger's name is your guardian angel. And even if you never see your guardian angel or perceive his voice, he's at work. And one of the works that he does is to impress upon your heart a call that God is giving to you right in the midst of the circumstance that you're in right now. That's the story of Gideon. What is he doing? He's out there grinding corn. You know, a very ordinary duty, a very ordinary responsibility, a very ordinary task to be accomplished, a very ordinary occupation for his day and time, grinding corn. But God uses all of these moments, and he impresses upon us in the midst of those ordinary moments a call and a mission. The guardian angel communicates that to our soul if we have the ears to hear. And again, if we have the eyes to see, and we've been blessed today by two examples of that. Absolutely incredible. So I feel very strongly that God is saying this to us today. I think the show is, you know, there's a prophetic word that's embedded in the program. That in the midst of your ordinary experience, what you're about right this very minute, there's a call and a mission involved. And that God will impress that mission, if you have ears to hear, he will impress it upon you through the ministry of your guardian angel, your messenger, your personal messenger from God. And he wants us to know that no matter what that call is, he's with us in it. He's with us in it. And so we want to find him there, right? We want to look for him in it. And he says, his greeting begins with references to the fact that the Lord is close to his chosen one. The Lord is with you. And the Lord is in the mission being assigned to him, it says in the Navarre Bible. And it says, God has seen the needs of his people and is going to send this man to their aid. This man to their aid. And isn't that what we've heard today? Through the testimonies of these two women, that their disability is their ability to be sent to these people, to aid them, to whoever it is that the Lord entrusted them, to the passerby on the street, whom they may never interact with, but yet sees their witness and is drawn into a certain type of accountability before the Lord. How am I using my sight? How am I using my capacity to move? Right? A mission. The Lord did not pick this man, he's talking about Gideon here, because he deserved it or because he came of a distinguished family. Perhaps the case with these two women. He picked him because he knew he was the one. And so God chose these two women today. I don't know about you. I've been impacted by their testimonies. They've taught me something. It says the usual reaction to a call from God is a reluctance to respond. Well, I'm sure that, you know, a diagnosis of blindness, I'm sure that a diagnosis of the need for a leg amputation was not something that was immediately responded to, a reluctance. Gideon recites all the difficulties and limitations which would disqualify him from the task. Well, Lord, you can't take my leg. You can't take my sight. How could I be about your work if you take this, if you take that? You know, it's how did we get into this situation? How can I deliver Israel was probably on the mind of Gideon. And he even asked for a sign to confirm the call, to see if it really does come from God. And God will always respond to that and give us a sign, just as he does for Gideon. So, you know, isn't it a call today, my dear friends, to mission? To mission in the midst of what we're about right this very moment? You don't have to be on television or radio to give mission, to see mission, to give testimony to God. He does it in the humble ways. And I want to tell you this. It's going to be in the humble ways that we're evaluated and that we're judged before the throne of God regarding how well we knew him and how well we helped others to know him too. Let's go to Jane. Jane is in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. Station of the Cross is the way she is with us today. How are you, Jane?
Hi, John. This is Jane. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thank you.
So what is going on, my dear?
Yes, I'm so happy to finally be on the air. I've been wanting to for so long, but I'm always nervous. But I would like to see something. When I just turned on the radio and I saw that the question was how the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. This mm-hmm. is an amazing, amazing topic. For the past almost three years now, our Lord, you know how he promises us that I'll send you. First of all, if we open our hearts, he can come in and he can live in us and dwell in us, which is dying with us, right?
Yes.
That is so true. So his word is true, very, very true. And he also said, the way he said that, I'll give you my advocate. I'll give you the Holy Spirit, which is the advocate, and it will direct you the path I want you to go. That is so, so true, too. He did that in my life for the past 3 years now. I received through adoration.
Mm.
I was initially nervous to speak about it, but I kind of want to talk about it to glory of God and also for some people out there who are listening to yes. know the importance of adoration. That's where we get everything we need.
That's
and
right.
We all have this. So many people are not, we don't know what we have.
Yes.
Now, I started adoration and I will spend time in adoration, but to the glory of God, I'm able to, he made me start going to daily mass almost 3 years now. I cannot miss a day to his own glory. If I don't go in the morning, I'll go in the evening to receive him. I try to start my day with daily mass. And mm-hmm. I asked him to help me with work, and he helped me. And my hours and schedules are working perfectly with that to the glory. And also, that helped me in my life. Through adoration and daily mass, I'm able to bring my children to daily mass. I'm able to bring my children to adoration. I have 6 children, and to his own glory, I don't feel nothing. He takes care of everything. He handles them. He directs them. Spiritual teaching. He teaches them the path he wants them to go. My entire family, to the glory of God. Now, that Holy Spirit, which is the advocate, he's really, really working in all our lives today.
Yes.
To the glory of God. And I personally will go to the adoration. I'll find myself spending hours in adoration and walking inside. This is the amazing part. Once I open the door, I'll be so filled with joy, like joy from nowhere. I'll be like, what is this? You don't even understand. I'll leave work longing to run to adoration, to spend time with him. Opening the door of the adoration, oh my darling, I'm here. It's like so filled with joy. You know that thing he said, that the joy I will give you is not the one the world gives, but the one he gives is truly, truly different from the peace and joy he gives us. I am a living example. I'm a living witness. And I pray that people will start utilizing the adoration. That's where he fills us with this Holy Spirit that will be like, wow, this is amazing. You know?
Well, Jane, you know, I should, you know, the reality is this, that the infallible sign of the Holy Spirit is joy. The infallible sign of the Holy Spirit is joy. And let me tell you, you certainly exude joy. There's no question about it. And when you talk about adoration and the holy sacrifice of the Mass and opening ourselves up to the sacred mysteries that are present before us there, God opens a door whereby we might enter into those sacred mysteries, and those sacred mysteries enter into us. And then we become a living witness of that reality in the world. And you have done that for us today. And I am absolutely grateful to you for your call, for all of the calls that we've received today. I thank you, and God bless you all. And for Judy out there, Judy, be assured of the fact that I will be tucking your niece into my rosary today. Friends, until we have the opportunity to be together again, may the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours. May God richly bless you. Bye-bye now.